Renowned environmentalist Sandra Steingraber is expected to speak at Lenox Memorial High School in Western Massachusetts at 5 p.m. Saturday about how PCBs, fracked gas, and pipelines impact the environment and human health. WAMC spoke with Steingraber, a biologist and author, about some of the region's major environmental problems.
I am going to come to the Berkshires to tell a story and share some science. And the story is about how science, together with a powerful social movement, prevailed in the state of New York to win a ban on fracking. I spent a lot of time looking at the toxicology of PCBs, which is a molecule I think a lot of people in the Berkshires know a lot about, unfortunately, and happily learned how to turn that knowledge into powerful civic engagement and a social movement to do things in a more enlightened way. And I think those lessons are really important for the fight ahead as we confront the fossil fuel industry. And, of course, here in the Commonwealth, that takes the form of a lot of pipeline fights.
So you hit the nail on the head. Berkshire County is definitely challenged by contamination, namely the PCBs in the Housatonic River by General Electric before they shuttered their doors in Pittsfield.
Right.
Ideally, what needs to happen to get that cleaned up and prevent future problems?
Well, PCBs, I think the lesson is that there really is no good solution once these things are released into the environment. There is no fix for a chemical that is inherently toxic. And these chemicals are also very long-lived. They persist for 35 to 50 years in human tissue and in soil. Once the problem is there, you can have these kind of imperfect solutions, as we do in New York State with dredging our Hudson River, which is another GE story, right? But it's not without risk. So the story of PCBs, like the story of fracking, the lesson is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Well, to the south, Kinder Morgan's Connecticut pipeline expansion has been built in Otis State Forest and gas is ready to flow. The utility company is just now cleaning up contaminated water used to pressurize the pipeline, and it's on a truck bound for a Maine wastewater treatment plant. It looks like natural gas isn't a thing of the past.
Not yet. I mean, I think what we're seeing in communities all over North America, including right here in the Berkshires, is a battle being played out between the ruinous past and an enlightened future. It's clear that we don't need to rely on fossil fuels to keep the lights on. We did that for 150 years. We've exhumed fossilized corpses out of the bedrock and lit them on fire, whether those are vaporized forms of prehistoric animals, such as natural gas, or the chunky stuff, coal, or the gooey stuff, oil. Oil, coal, and natural gas has run our economy to the point where we're about to collapse our ecological system in the form of climate change, and thereby collapse, of course, our economic system, which depends on it. And so, happily, we have some great alternatives to fossil fuels, but those aren't going to take center stage unless the fossil fuel companies exit, and they won't do so voluntarily. So they have kind of stayed at the party long after their curfew. So I feel a lot of solidarity with the folks here, especially folks in the Sugar Shack Alliance, who actually came out to Seneca Lake in the Finger Lakes region of New York and gave us a hand with our own civil disobedience campaign. It's time for them to leave now and let something better take its place. So it's really a kind of a two-part struggle to open the door to renewables even while we close the door for more build out of fossil fuels, because they really are mutually exclusive.
Environmentalist Sandra Steingraber speaking with WAMC.